thank you for that song this evening. Congratulations to the Green Team. We were walking down the hill, my family, as we were coming down, I think it was for dinner, and we noticed a slide up on top of the balcony. And Isaiah noticed the slide gone. He's a middle guy. He noticed it gone from the playground. He's like, the slide's gone. And that was a very neat way to show who won the week this week. But good job, you all, on competing. And as you memorize the Word of God, keep that up. That will never return to you void. God will bring that back when you need it to come back to you. Ezra chapter 9 this evening. Ezra chapter 9. We're going to be looking at Ezra for a second time this evening as we finish up our evening rallies. In the course of the evening rallies, we've been looking at stronghold razors. The razor is not what to build up, but the razor as R-A-Z-E, to tear down, to destroy, because we recognize that in our land, in our society, in our culture today, there are strongholds throughout our land that the devil utilizes to blind people from the gospel of Jesus Christ. On Monday night, we looked at the faith of Jehoiada to break the odds. On Tuesday night, we looked at the courage of Jehoiada to break the mold. On Wednesday night, we looked at the vision of Jehoiada to break down the stronghold. And on Thursday night, we looked at the... what did we look at? Something of Ezra. The wisdom of Ezra. I had it in my mind, but it escaped out of my mind as I began wondering if I was giving off the correct days or not. But here we go back. The wisdom of Ezra to break down the stronghold. We saw some different strongholds. Stronghold for the faith of Jehoiada on Monday night. Anybody remember that? What that was? Raising the stronghold of... any takers? Yes, sir.
Monday night was Satanism.
That is correct, sir. Yes, that is correct. On Tuesday night, we looked at the stronghold of secular humanism, and it took the what of Jehoiada to break the mold? Courage. I heard that one. That's good. On Wednesday night, we looked at the stronghold of communism relating it to our day today, and we need the what of Jehoiada to break that stronghold. The vision of Jehoiada to break that stronghold. On Thursday night, we looked at the stronghold of materialism it was, and we needed what of Ezra to break down that stronghold. Yes, ma'am.
Wisdom
of Ezra to break down that stronghold. Tonight, we come to our fifth and final stronghold that we want to consider in our week together during our evening rallies. And this brings us to Ezra in chapter 9. And there is something inside of Ezra that is needed to take down this particular stronghold, and that is the quality of humility. Humility. My friends, we ought never to underestimate the character quality of humility. It ought to be evident in each one of our lives. And this is vital for taking down this particular stronghold. Ezra has come back into the land. We looked at it last night about how Artaxerxes had given him everything he needed, and they travel back, all who were minded to go with Ezra, they go back into the land of Israel, back there to Jerusalem. And in Ezra 9:1, as he's come into the land, now when these things were done, the princes came to me, saying, the people of Israel and the priests and the Levites have not separated themselves from the people of the lands, doing according to the abominations, even to the Canaanites, of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Jebusites, the Ammonites, the Moabites, the Egyptians, and the Amorites. For they have taken of their daughters for themselves and for their sons, so that the holy seed have mingled themselves with the people of those lands. Yea, the hand of the princes and rulers hath been chief in this trespass. So God had designed for the nation of Israel. Israel was going away from that design, and they were doing intermarriages with the surrounding nations here, whom God had said not to do because they would lead them away from God. They're going against God's original design here. And when I heard this thing, I rent my garment and my mantle and plucked off the hair of my head and of my beard and sat down astonished. Then were assembled unto me everyone that trembled at the words of the God of Israel because of the transgression of those that had been carried away, and I sat astonished until the evening sacrifice. And at the evening sacrifice I rose up from my heaviness, and having rent my garment and my mantle, I fell upon my knees and spread out my hands unto the Lord my God. Now Ezra's heard the word that there's sin sin, wickedness going on in the land that ought not to be there. He's just come from this trip. Everything seems to be going great. And he gets to Jerusalem and he gets word that, hey, the people here in the land, people here in Jerusalem haven't been following God. And he is broken. Verse 6, he said, oh my God, I am ashamed and blush to lift up my face to thee, my God. For our iniquities are increased over our head, and our trespasses grown up into the heavens. Quick note at his humility. Notice it's not, Lord, they're the ones doing it. He concludes him, our iniquities have gone over our head, God. Since the days of our fathers have we been in great trespass unto this day. And for our iniquities have we, our kings and our priests, been delivered into the hand of the kings of the lands, to the sword, to captivity, and to a spoil, and to confusion of face, as it is this day. And now for a little space, grace hath been showed from the Lord our God, to leave us a remnant to escape, and to give us a nail in this holy place, that our God may lighten our eyes, and give us a little reviving in our bondage. For we were bondmen, yet our God hath not forsaken us in our bondage, but hath extended mercy unto us in the sight of the kings of Persia, to give us a reviving, to set up the house of our God, and to repair the desolations thereof, and to give us a wall in Judah and Jerusalem. And now, O our God, what shall we say after this? For we have forsaken thy commandments, which thou hast commanded by thy servants the prophets, saying, the land unto which ye go to possess it is an unclean land, with the filthiness of the people of the land, with their abominations, which have filled it from one end to another with their uncleanness. Now therefore give not your daughters unto their sons, neither take their daughters unto your sons, nor seek their peace or their wealth forever, that ye may be strong and eat the good of the land, and leave it for an inheritance to your children forever. And after all that has come upon us for our evil deeds and for our great trespass, seeing that thou art our God has punished us less than our iniquities deserve, and has given us such deliverance as this, should we again break thy commandments and join in affinity with the people of these abominations? Wouldest not thou be angry with us till thou hadst consumed us, so that there should be no remnant or escaping, O Lord God of Israel? Thou art righteous, for we remain yet escape as it is this day. Behold, we are before thee in our trespasses, for we cannot stand before thee because of this. The people of the land of Israel, there in that return remnant, had taken God's original design for them, God's original commandment for them, and had twisted it, had turned it upside down on their head, and gone in and done what God had told them not to. It was a flipping up of flipping it on top of his head. And as we consider Ezra, as we consider Ezra's humility, that he had to come against the stronghold of wickedness that was in his land of days, that took God's design and perverted it, we recognize that even in our land today, even in our society, even in our culture over the past decades, and it's become increasingly more so to higher degrees, we see the stronghold of feminism inside of our land today that has taken that which God has said, this is how it is to be, and the later movements of feminism coming in to distort what God has said. These ideas, these truths of God saying be fruitful and multiply, these truths that God gives to us for man and woman to hold their place in society, to be who God wants for them to be. But there's a movement in our society today that seeks to eradicate all the difference between a man and a woman. And that does not come from God, my friends. That comes from the opposite. And what we need is we need, like Ezra had for the wickedness in his land, we need a humility of Ezra to say, Lord, we've gone wrong in this area. Lord, would you bring us back to your original design for each one of us as individuals, for each one of us as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ? Heavenly Father, we pray that as we look into your word this evening, Lord, would you give us open hearts to hear what you'd have for us tonight, Lord? Lord, we live in a society today that inundates us with this philosophy, that inundates us with this thought process that takes what the Word of God says and really throws it out, flips it down, flips it over, upside down on its head. And we recognize, Lord, that if we're going to wage war against this ideology, even in our land today, we need to recognize, Lord, that it's not something that's coming down the pike, perhaps as we've seen in the past, over this past week, but it's something that's been here. It's something that's been here for quite a while, and we are ingrained in it, Lord. And Lord, we pray that you would give us a humility to see the stronghold out there and to recognize that if we're going to raise, tear down that stronghold out there, we must first recognize and have a humility in each one of our own lives and take out the sin that is in our own lives. Lord, I pray for this. I pray that you do a work in each one of our hearts. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. God, give us a generation with the humility of Ezra to break, if you will, in our day and age now, the stronghold of feminism that has come over the land, that feminism that has given way to entitlement to for a woman to be just like man, a distastement of God's design, an ensnarement that robs them from the beauty of womanhood, but something that is also shown that has allowed men to abdicate their responsibility to grow weak, and then women to usurp their responsibility and grow strong where God would rather have the men be strong. And the realization is today, my friends, there is an ideology out there that is being pushed down our society, pushed down our throats in this culture today, and we've got to recognize, my friends, that what we need today is not necessarily empowerment or pride or this can do, we're going to fight this. We need today in our lane, each one of us, humility to be broken in and of ourselves. You say, you know what? It doesn't matter what society says that I'm entitled to. It doesn't matter what society says that they want to twist and thwart the roles that God has created. What I need to be as a man, what I need to be as a woman, whoever you are, what I need to be is humble in the sight of God. There's a wickedness that was abounding in Ezra's land when he got back into Jerusalem, a clear violation of the commandments of God. And my friends, there is a clear violation of the commandment of God that has happened even in our land, in our society today. And we didn't recognize that which will rectify it will be a humility to raise down that stronghold. To the world, in the world's thinking, the world's mindset, this seems backwards. Humility would almost seem like weakness. But my friends, we need a humility so that the power of God can flow through us. Is your life about you or is it about God? We've been looking at this past week, even through different messages even in the morning, practical Christian living hour, the message from this morning to avoid sin's pathway and choose to go on God's pathway. The reality is, my friends, we need humility. The Bible says, before destruction, Proverbs 18:12, before destruction, the heart of man is haughty, and before honor is humility. Humility says it's not about me, but it's about what God commands of me. What has God set forth for us in our culture and our society today? God has set forth in Genesis chapter 1, to be fruitful and to multiply and replenish the earth. But having children, but having a family, but having a marriage in a large family almost seems today in our society as you're going to do that? Why waste your life and get married? Why waste your life and have kids? Just live for yourself, live to the fullest. Oh, you're going to get married. Why don't you, even as a woman, just pursue a career in the secular world, climb the corporate ladder and not recognize the fact that one of the greatest joys that God has created is that of motherhood, is that of being married. Men, that we would stop considering that, I'm just gonna go along with my hobbies. I'm gonna live how I want to live. And God's saying, hey, you need to man up. You need to be the spiritual leader that I've called on you to be. This is what you need to be in our society today. But what have we done? We as a society have kind of thrown those ideas out the window and say, well, God didn't really mean that. And our society has gone a vastly different way. Ezra came to Jerusalem, having gotten everything he needed from Artaxerxes, and they come to him, Ezra, the people have been committing wickedness. The people have twisted what God commanded them. They've been violating God's command. And after his trip, after seeing God do great things for them, Ezra's like, really? I almost, in a sense, are you kidding? And he can't believe it, or he probably does believe it because of mankind's heart. But he's broken before the Lord. And he recognized the only way to get my people back to God is to come to God in humility. My friends, the only way we get back to God's original design for us as men, for us as women, for us as individuals, is coming to God in humility. Now, we look at the stronghold that sits out there in our society and looms large over our country today. But we recognize that if we will wage war on that, we must first be willing to wage war on that which is in our heart, of which God is not pleased. Are we willing, like Ezra, to be broken over the sin in our own life? We ought to have the humility of Ezra to break the mold, and, or rather to have the humility of Ezra to break the mold and resultantly wage war on the feministic stronghold. It's not something that's coming down the pike. It's something that's here. It's something that's been here. Rather, we are trying to break a generational cycle at this point. Something that's been here for years and for decades. And everybody's content to be who they are. But my friend, if we're going to come back to God, it's not coming back to a certain decade necessarily or a certain time frame. It's coming back to the principles of the Word of God. It's coming back to be allowing our lives to be transformed by Christ and conformed into the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. See, what does this look like on a personal level? James 4:10, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. What does it look like on a national level? 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves. Was God's first thing for the nation of Israel if they were to come back to God? Humble yourself. What's the first thing that we need to do if we're going to come back to God and God's original design for each one of us? We need to humble myself. Say, Lord, I don't care about what the society says. Lord, I don't care about what culture says. Would you help me tune that out? Would you help me get into your word? And would you help me, Lord, to be transformed? Three ways Ezra showed to us he had a humility. And this is a humility we need to have in our life. Number one, my friends, a humility that is broken over our nation's sin. A humility that is broken over our nation's sin. I believe, my friends, Ezra had a humility that was broken over his nation's sin. Ezra had a humility broken over his nation's sin. When I heard this, I rent my garment and my mantle and plucked off the hair of my head and of my beard. At the evening sacrifice, I arose up from my heaviness, and having rent my garment and my mantle, I fell upon my knees and spread out my hands unto the Lord my God and said, O my God, I am ashamed and blush to lift up my face to thee, my God, for our iniquities are increased over our head and our trespasses grown up into the heavens. When the news came to Ezra of the sin that his countrymen were imbibing in, he was broken. Why didn't God want them to do what they were doing? Because God knew these nations were supposed to have been wiped out by the nation of Israel when they came in the land. They had received 400 years. Part of the reason Israel was down in Egypt for 400 years was because the iniquity of the Amorites were not yet full. God said that to Abraham. God had been gracious to the people of this land, but they had continued in their wickedness. Israel did not throw them all out. Israel, in fact, allowed their idols and their idolatry to come into the land, and they began to have affinity with the people of the land. have intermarriages with the people of the land. And the idea was that the people of God weren't supposed to be marrying those who were not the people of God. Much like the same it is today, you hear often said that if you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you're looking at somebody to marry, you ought not to have in your spectrum of candidates somebody that does not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. That ought to be kind of a, let me put it bluntly, just a duh statement. That shouldn't be on your trajectory. And even inside of those who know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, there's obviously other things, but this is primarily what Israel was guilty of, if you'd look at it in our thought process today. And God said, this cannot be. And Ezra was broken over his nation's sin. We see the visible heartache. He had rent his clothes, plucked off his hair, he was despaired, he was kneeling, he was spread out upon God's mercy. As a newly commissioned leader and priest already, you could say, I mean, Artaxerxes put him into a government position. He could have dealt with this different. He could have demanded, answered in anger, why did you do this? You are going to be punished for doing this. But he didn't do it, my friends, because Ezra recognized something important. It was not a them problem, it was a we problem. My friends, we can point our fingers all we want. Well, Daniel, I'm a pretty good person, you know. I do all the things that I'm supposed to do. It's really a them problem out there. I don't need anything you're telling me tonight. No, my friends, it's a we problem. It's all of us. We, if you vision us as a culture, we as a society, we as a country before our God, we are guilty before God for the transgression, for the trespasses, for the ways we have gone against God, for how we have thrown God out of our society, how we have twisted God's clear commands and said, I'm not going to do that, God, I'm going to do what I want to do. And things out there, the badder, the bigger the badder, things look worse and we feel like, oh, I'm okay. But when we start lining ourselves up with the Word of God instead of things out there, we start realizing, I'm not okay. Maybe I do need to adjust some things in my life. And my friends, this is where the question comes home. Ezra was broken in humility over the sins of his nation. Are you, my friends, broken over the sins of our nation? Let me bring it a little closer to home. Are you broken over your own sin? Having in our heart a heart of humility. Pride is that which will wage war, and we in our minds can rationalize in ourselves, say, well, I'm not that bad. Well, that's pride trying to work its way in each one of our hearts. Rather, we need to come to the Lord and say, Lord, here I am before you, Lord. You've shown me where I've gone wrong. Lord, I'm broken over this. I'm reliant upon your mercy. Lord, as the psalmist David said when he was found out with his sin with Bathsheba by the prophet Nathan in Psalm 51, he said, Lord, against thee and thee only have I sinned. Lord, would you create in me a clean heart? Lord, would you do a work inside of me? It's a recognition that when I've sinned, that I own up to my sin, that I'm broken over my sin. A humility broken over our nation's sin. Ezra had a visible heartache. Ezra was broken over his nation's sin. We're going to trace back into chapter 7 we looked at last night. What do we remember Ezra had done? In verse number 10 of Ezra chapter 7, Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the Lord God, to do the law of God and to teach it. God had already done a work in his heart to where God could use him to do a work in the nation's heart. My friends, if you're going to want to do a work in the hearts of the people in our land today, your friends today, your classmates back at home, your relatives, it's God first come with God doing a work in your heart. A humility to be broken over the sins of our nation. A humility to be broken over our own sins. Ezra showed a visible heartache over that which had led them captive. He recognized that These were the sins that God had brought them into captivity for. He recognized what James says, when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. He recognized, my friends, that they were on the wrong path. Ezra sees this captivating sin as that which will destroy them. Again, having come up out of captivity with God's hand upon him via Artaxerxes in the safe passageway, he sees a people imbibing in that which he had afore sent them away captives. Talk about coming from a mountaintop experience down right into the valley, if you will, and say, what exactly are they doing? My friend, does our sin break us to the point of visible heartache, a rearrangement of our schedule, and personal even abasement? Say, oh Lord, I'm sorry about my sin, and we go about our day, but, or do we, like Ezra, make a point of, hey, Lord, I have sinned against you. God, I have not been what you have been calling me to be as a man. Lord, I have been perhaps wasting my time away on frivolous video games or hobbies or entertainment. And Lord, I need to train on being the man that you would have for me to be. Perhaps even for the ladies here, perhaps the thought process on a large scale, you've been considering that of pursuing a career, when that which God has given for the chiefest aim is that of a mother who will raise up another generation. Perhaps there's something smaller in each one of our lives that we need to be broken over. Ezra could join in chorus, as we ought to as well, with the prophet Daniel when he said in Daniel 9:8, O Lord, to us belongeth confusion of face, to our kings and to our princes and to our fathers, because we have sinned against thee. And we can rightfully pray this prayer even in our land today, Lord, we deserve your judgment. But Daniel doesn't stop there in Daniel chapter 9. Because when he says, Lord, we come to you, not because of our goodness, we come to you because you are a gracious and a merciful and a long-suffering God. My friends, we ought not to ask for God's judgment. We ought to ask, rather, for God's mercy, for God's grace, for God's long-suffering to us as a nation. We recognize that there are strongholds in our land today that the devil's utilizing to blind people from the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And even the stronghold, if you will, of feminism, one that purports a thought process of entitlement, that you can do it, you can be a better you don't need anything to help you out. And as a result, the devil's utilized this to blind people from the gospel of Jesus Christ. You can even look at it from a political spectrum standpoint and notice those involved with this feminist movement are largely leaning towards a party that is left-leaning, that does away with any semblance of God at all, and are going towards a woke ideology. And it's going to end in disaster. We've tried to throw off the shackles of the Judeo-Christian heritage, the Judeo-Christian faith. We're trying to throw off the shackles of the Christian principles that have founded the West, and it's leading toward a woke ideology. And my friends, it doesn't take long to look around in our day and age and realize that there's a bedfellow, if you will, to wokeism, which is Islamism, which is hijacking even the leftist movement. And one day everybody's going to wake up and we're not going to have any semblance of God in here. We're going to be ruled by Sharia law and we're going to be persecuted for our faith. This is what James says right here. Where was it? James 1:15, when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, we're following down this pathway so much, allowing the stronghold, the blindness, that one day we're going to wake up and it's going to bring forth our death. Now, I'm giving you stuff that's happening on a larger scale in our society because I want you to recognize what's happening out there because I want you to recognize what's going on in here. If you're going to fix the problem out there, you must first fix the problem in here. Yes, there's a grave sin out there, but yes, there's sin in our life that we need to get right with God. And for each one of us, my friend, I realize that it's different, but each one of us can adapt this quality of humility and apply it to each one of our lives. A humility broken over our nation's sin. Secondly, a humility seeking remedy in God alone. First truth, a humility broken over our nation's sin. Secondly, a humility seeking remedy in God alone. What does Ezra do when he has heard the news? He comes to God in verse 5. He falls upon his knees. He spreads out his hands unto the Lord. And he says, I'm ashamed and I blush to lift up my face to thee, my God. For our iniquities are increased over our head, and our trespasses grown up into the heavens. Since the days of our fathers, we have been in a great trespass unto this day. And for our iniquities have we, our kings, our priests, have been delivered into the hand of the kings of the lands, to the sword, to captivity, and to spoil, and to confusion of face, as it is this day. Lord, we've deserved what we had. I come to you, I don't know what to do. But Ezra's in the right spot, is he not? Where's he coming to? He's coming to God. We have in our society today that there's a lot of problems in our society today, and we're looking every other way to go and fix a spiritual problem with a mental cover-up or a physical cover-up, when the reality is we need to get back to God. You can't legislate morality on a wicked, sinful people. Again, John Adams, why he said our Constitution was only made for a religious and a moral people. It's incapable for a government of any other. What's the realization today? There's a vast amount of people going their own way, and we're trying to do patch jobs. Oh, let me fix it here, or let's fix it there. What can fix it? Coming to God. Coming to God, broken in humility. Perhaps you have problems in your life and you're looking for patch jobs. Oh, this is what I need. This is what I need to fix it. This will help out for a little bit. It's only a cover-up. It's only treating some of the symptoms, if you will. What we need to treat in our day and age today is a heart problem. And there's a stronghold we're seeing, the stronghold of feminism, that goes directly against this because it undermines the original design of God, what God has set up for men and for women, what God has set up for marriage, what God has set up for the home. We could get into specifics, but we're looking at it at an aerial view, considering that it is going against God. The only way we come back to God, the only way we rectify our solution in our land today is having humility broken over the sin of our nation, broken over the sins of our own life, and having a humility seeking remedy in God alone. We ought to adapt the cry, Psalm 51:4, Lord, against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in my sight. We realize that everything is open to God. Proverbs 15:3, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. My friends, we ought to pray for a generation. Lord, would you make us a generation to have the humility of Ezra, who recognized God as the only way out of the swamp trap of sin. We're wallowing in muck and mire today. We're wallowing in a swamp today. And we think we're okay because we've become accustomed to it. That's the problem. How do you kill a frog? You don't throw him into a boiling pot of water. Frog's going to try to jump out right away. You put him in a nice warm pot, crank up the temperature just a little bit, gets a little accustomed to it, goes a little bit more. He gets accustomed to it, goes a little bit more. Eventually, what happens? The frog's dead. But my friends, what's happening to us in our society today as Christians? We've accepted all that out there. It gets worse and worse, and we're like, okay, we can put up with this, we can put up with this. And then we're like, well, it's out there, it definitely can be in my life. Well, I can put up with this, I can put up this, I can still serve the Lord and have this in my life. And God is saying to us, no, Be broken in humility and recognize that I am the only way out. Recognize there's no better plan than God's. What does Ezra say in verse 14? No, verse 15 it is, rather. O Lord God of Israel, thou art righteous. God, I've recognized what we've done. We've sinned against thee. We've committed wickedness against thee. But Lord, you haven't changed. Because God, you never change. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. God says in Malachi 3:6, I am the Lord, Yahweh. God, I change not. He doesn't change. God is holy. God is righteous. When we've drifted far away from God, it's because I've moved. That's why I go away from God. It's because I've moved. And Ezra's recognized this, and he says, God, you're righteous. Your plan is the best way for each one of us to get out. It's by coming to God. But if we lack the fear of God, it will lead to the enslavement of the world and captivate us to our own sinful actions. What we see out in our society today is this toppling of God's original design. This toppling of the marital relationship. This toppling of the home. Society says today the greatest thing you can do, even as women, is that you can go pursue a career. The reality is they're robbing you of the greatest treasure that God has given to bear children. Men, that they would say, go live for yourself. Go do whatever you want to do. Just go through life in auto mode, and you're being robbed of the greatest thing, to be a man of God, to be a leader in your home. And then as together in a marital relationship, to be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. Children are not cursing. Children are a blessing. The Bible makes that clear. We need to seek remedy in God alone. But thirdly and finally then, we need to have a humility that calls for reversal in our trajectory. We need to have a humility that calls for reversal in our trajectory. So this means I'm broken before the Lord. I'm broken over my sin. I recognize, God, you're the one I've sinned against. It is not enough just to leave it here and be sorry about it. God, I'm going to reverse my course and I'm going to live for you now. Number three, a humility that calls for reversal in our trajectory. Look at chapter 10. Look at verse number 11. Ezra says this. Ezra the priest stood up and said to them, ye have transgressed and have taken strange wives to increase the trespass of Israel. They have gone against God's original design. Now therefore, make confession, do his pleasure, separate yourselves. Ezra gives the people of Israel here in the city of Jerusalem a call to action, a call for reversal in their trajectory. They've admitted they have been guilty of wrongdoing. They say this in verse number 2 of chapter 10. We have trespassed against our God. We recognize what we have done. And Ezra says, all right, then you're going to see about making a solution and getting things right with God. A confession, a reversal begins with admittance of wrongdoing. Again, are we content to wallow in the swamp of our preferred lifestyle? The swamp is so deep, my friends, we have to peel back layers and disrupt our normalcy. This was the practice of the remnant. We have so much that we're used to in our culture that we look at the surface thing and God says, that's not it. I want this. I want this. And we recognize, hey, I haven't been living for the Lord in this area. It was when the Lord shows it to us, we're broken in humility. How's our relationship with family? How's our relationship with our mom and dad? How's How's our relationship with authority? We could go through a list of practical questions to ask ourselves and say that, hey, humility recognizes that I need a broken over my sin. I need to come to God, and that I need to reverse my ways. I need to reverse my trajectory. Confession is an agreement with God with that which we have done. But there is a great hurdle of this today as we consider what we deem as wrong and getting back to what God deems as wrong. And sometimes people would just like to say, but I have the liberty as a Christian to live how I want to live. I have the freedom in Christ to live how I want to live. I can do this. I can say those words. I can go watch those films. I can go listen to that rock music because I have the freedom as a Christian to sin. I want to sin. No, my friends, we don't. But that's almost the greatest hurdle we have to get over today. Stuff that is normal for us, but leveling it with the Word of God. What does God's Word have to say? I give you a promise. God gives us in 1 John 1:9 that if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Don't argue with God about the sin that He's exposing in your heart. Don't rationalize to God that, hey, I'm better than so-and-so. God say, I don't want any of that. I want a brokenness. I want a humility. I want a contriteness of your heart where you come to me and say, Lord, I've sinned. Would you forgive me? God, you're the only way out. And God, I'm going to reverse my ways. And God, I'm going to come back to you. You want to see God do a great work in our society, my friends? It begins with God doing a great work in our hearts. Saying, Lord, reverse the trajectory of my life. It continued with following after what God has said to do. Inside humility is broken over sin. There's finding remedy in God alone. There's a firm call to reverse our pathway. There must be a resolution to submit in obedience to God. Each one of us must be willing to submit in obedience to God. Now, this word submit is really a taboo word to the cultural full onslaught of the feminist movement, as there is a call to no submission, but God has called on each one of us to submit to Him. God has designed us each differently. God has designed men and women differently. They are complementary to each other, but there's a reality that we are different. And God was telling to Israel, look, you ought not to go down and follow this wickedness again. God would be calling to each one of us for the women to return to be equipped as God has equipped you. In 1 Peter 3:4, to adorn yourself, to let it be the hidden man of the heart in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. Return as a man to how God has equipped you in 1 Timothy 5:8, but if any man provide for not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. My friends, we ought to be shaped by God's word, not by a cultural movement. Culture changes all the time. We've looked at a number of strongholds over the past few nights. Don't let them shape you. Do not allow yourself to be a captive of these strongholds. Rather, allow yourself to be changed by the Word of God. Because if you're going to effectively destroy these strongholds that are blinding people from the gospel of Jesus Christ, you need to be changed by God's word so that you can go out and destroy those strongholds in the land today. And then there is a confession, there's a following, there's a removal. There's a removing of that which we have done wrong, and there's a coming after God. Lord, we have sinned, help us to do right. Matthew 18:9, Jesus said, if thine eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life with one eye rather than having two eyes to be cast into hellfire. Now don't walk away from this and say, oh, so if I have a problem with my eye, I should actually dig it out. Believe what the Lord Jesus Christ is saying here. Look, if you have a problem with something, cut that out of your life. you have a problem with what you're viewing, maybe don't go to the place that allows for that viewing to for you to take place. If you have a problem with viewing, maybe toss away this. Maybe put on settings on the phone that are accountability settings. Maybe get somebody that would hold you as accountability partner. Jesus is saying, don't allow sin to drag you down. And as an unbeliever, it drags you down where you miss coming to the Lord, knowing the Lord Jesus Christ is your Savior, and you go into eternity of hellfire. It's not worth it, my friend. It's not worth it. If you have, if an individual has problem with alcohol, if they have problem with it, they have an past experience with alcohol, then they would do wise to not even go there. Well, I am going to go and fight the temptation. I am going to walk into this bar, and I'm going to pray while I'm walking around for the next 30 minutes. You'd say, you're stupid. Why are you doing that? You're giving way to the flesh. You're going to fall. Yeah, you're going to fall. If something is a problem, if you have a problem with something that it's going to take you away from the Lord, then just get rid of that out of your life. If something is acting as an idol in your life, it may not be inherently sinful, but it's taken first place, then get that out of your life, because we want to be effective for the Lord Jesus Christ. My friend, humility sees what is wrong and removes what is wrong because it sees God and knows what is right. So remove the sin before it kills you, even if it is the norm. Society deems it acceptable. It's the way I've always done it. There's nothing wrong with this. We are combating against the generational cycle here, even in the stronghold of feminism. We're combating against, even in our lives, sins in our own lives that are okay to our minds. And we need to get rid of them. And how do we do that? Humility. Jeremiah 18:8, God gives a promise to the nation. If the nation against whom I have pronounced turn from their evil, I will repent of the evil that I thought to do against them. My friend, are you willing to call out the reversal of a trajectory in this generation? That as you allow God to do a work in your heart, then you would call out what needs to be changed in our society, in our culture. Raise a stronghold of feminism. Destroy it. It comes from humility to break the stronghold. That humility will be broken over our nation's sin, seeking remedy in God alone and calling for a reversal in our trajectory. The question is, where is the humility of Ezra in this generation? And my friends, will you be willing to have a humility in your heart? To say, Lord, help me to be broken over the sin of my nation, but Lord, help me to be broken over my sin. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Every head bowed, every eye closed. The piano is going to come and play a song in just a moment. We'll have a word of prayer before then. But I just want to ask you a simple question. No one's looking around. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed.